We've got helicopters above. I think it's news helicopter, not police helicopters. Just a sea of people, all different ages, races, sexualities.
This was an army of lovers. Nothing huge, but just a sense of purpose, a sense of why we're here.
I'm here to protect my family. I have three children and a husband. Been together 12 years, and we just want what everybody else wants.
They pissed off the wrong group of people. Yeah. Now let's go get our damn equal rights. Come on.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Nepal's top court rules for sexual minority rights, a Caribbean AIDS confab calls sex bans unsafe, and hundreds of rallies across the U.S. demand marriage equality. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Torres.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 22, 2008. Nepal's highest court this week ordered the government to repeal all laws that discriminate against sexual minorities and to enact legislation guaranteeing their full rights, including legal recognition of same-gender couples. The court said that the government should form a 7-member committee to study same-gender unions in other countries and recommend a similar law for Nepal. The Maoist-led government took power with the visible participation of LGBT people following the overthrow of an oppressive king in the tiny Himalayan country. The judges criticized the government for dragging its feet on reforms since their summary ruling last December, which became official with this week's publication. Sunil Pant, the founder of the LGBT rights group Blue Diamond Society and the country's only openly gay member of parliament, celebrated the ruling, telling reporters that "my eyes were filled with tears when I read the Supreme Court's landmark decision." LGBT people in Nepal have until recently been routinely arrested, held without hearings, and beaten and tortured by prison guards. Blue Diamond also said, however, that HIV prevention workers are still regularly harassed by police. The government has yet to respond to the ruling.
Several government officials at the recent annual meeting of the Pan-Caribbean Partnership Against HIV/AIDS called for the repeal of laws that criminalize gay sex in order to slow the spread of the virus, according to a report by the Caribbean Media Corporation. Dr. Peter Figueroa, head of the Jamaican Ministry of Health's AIDS program, said that when people see themselves as excluded or discriminated against and stigmatized, it promotes risky behavior. But his country has been identified by global human rights groups as one of the most LGBT oppressive in the world. The health minister of the island nation of Dominica, John Fabian, said about men who have sex with men that we can't bow our heads in the sand and say it does not happen. According to Amnesty International, 11 Caribbean area nations continue to ban gay sex. Antigua and Barbuda, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, Grenada, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Trinidad and Tobago.
Thousands of people around the world observe the 10th annual Transgender Day of Remembrance on or close to November 20th. Candlelight vigils and other memorial events mourn the deaths of people who've been murdered, often brutally, because of their gender identity or expression. The annual event began on November 20, 1998, to honor Rita Hester, who was murdered in her Boston apartment. About 250 people marched through the streets to protest her killing. Transgender Day of Remembrance observances were announced this year in Austria, Australia, Canada, England, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Scotland, Sweden, Turkey, and the U.S.
In other news, 104 retired U.S. generals and admirals, including former Joint Chiefs Chairman John Shalikashvili, are calling for an end to "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," the policy banning military service by open gays and lesbians. Only 28 former admirals and generals signed on to a similar statement last year. As is the case with Great Britain, Israel, and other nations that allow gays and lesbians to serve openly, the officers wrote, Our service members are professionals who are able to work together effectively despite differences in race, gender, religion, and sexuality. Available data suggests that there are about 1 million gay and lesbian veterans in the United States, and that about 65,000 lesbians and gay men currently serve in the military. More than 12,000 enlisted personnel were discharged between 1994 and 2007 for violating Don't Ask, Don't Tell, according to the Service Members Legal Defense Network, a lesbi-gay military advocacy group. The number of discharges peaked in 2001, but began dropping off sharply after the September 11th attacks. President-elect Barack Obama, who's said he supports repeal, will likely move cautiously on the matter, especially in light of more pressing economic issues. He'll need to work with Congress, and surely remembers Bill Clinton's bungled effort to repeal the then-outright ban on lesbi-gay military service at the beginning of his presidency in 1992. That led to the so-called compromise, Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, which allows service only by gays and lesbians who stay in the closet.
But the government of South Korea has asked its constitutional court to confirm the ban on gay men serving in that country's armed forces. A military court requested a review of the constitutionality of the ban in August. A defense ministry spokesman told Agence France-Presse that the military has to maintain good combat capability. It works for the public interest rather than personal happiness. All young men in South Korea are required to serve in the military or in the riot police for up to 2 years and have to take a test at the time of enlistment that includes various questions about sexual orientation. Those identified as having abnormal sexual identities are rejected. There's no mention of homosexuality in the South Korean constitution or civil penal code. Discrimination against sexual minorities is widespread in the country, however, supported by its conservative Confucian traditions and the growing influence of the Roman Catholic Church.
California's Supreme Court agreed this week to hear the legal challenges to Proposition 8, approved by 52% of the state's voters on November 4th. The constitutional amendment overturned the same court's May marriage equality ruling and revoked the right of same-gender couples to marry. But the justices denied the request by LGBT advocates that Proposition 8 not be enforced until they rule on its constitutionality. Some 18,000 couples who wed in the state between mid-June, when the court ruling took effect, and November 4th, when the ballot measure passed, will also remain in legal limbo until the court rules on the validity of their marriages, as well as on the constitutionality of Proposition 8 itself. The lawsuits against the measure argue that eliminating the established rights of a minority group violates the state constitution's equal protection provisions. They also say that such a significant constitutional change requires a two-thirds vote by the legislature before it can even go to the voters. Prop 8 supporters say that restricting marriage in the state to one man and one woman was not the sweeping constitutional revision that opponents say it was. Court spokeswoman Lynn Holton told reporters that oral arguments will probably not be scheduled until March at the earliest.
Ron Prentice, chairman of the Yes on 8 campaign, said this week that his group is already gearing up to fight a ballot measure that LGBT rights groups promised to get on the 2010 California ballot to reinstate marriage equality if the state high court upholds the constitutionality of Proposition 8.
In Florida, voters also approved Amendment 2 on November 4th. The language of that constitutional amendment appeared to ban not only same-gender marriage, but domestic partnerships as well. That could affect not only gay and lesbian couples, but thousands of cohabiting non-gay couples who choose not to marry but have been given domestic partner benefits in some locales. LGBT activists are working on defending an anticipated legal challenge to those benefits with a new website, www.undo2.org.
And finally, gays and lesbians have won a small victory in the so-called culture war. Popular heterosexual matchmaking website eHarmony.com, which claims to match compatible singles through a comprehensive set of psychological measurements, will have a companion site for gays and lesbians next year. Its spokesman and founder, evangelical Christian psychologist Neil Clark Warren, once worked with the notoriously anti-gay Focus on the Family. His site first targeted Christian singles, but soon expanded its outreach to a more secular audience. The move to open eHarmony services to gays and lesbians came in the settlement this week of a discrimination lawsuit filed in New Jersey. The Division on Civil Rights of the State Attorney General's Office determined last year that eHarmony was violating New Jersey's anti-bias laws, concluding that gay man Eric McKinley's lawsuit had merit and could proceed. eHarmony attorney Theodore Olson said in a statement that, "We ultimately decided it was best to settle this case with the Attorney General, since litigation outcomes can be unpredictable." Under the settlement, eHarmony will start a new service by March 31st called Compatible Partners for men seeking matches with men and women with women. A company statement said that it also agrees to ensure that same-sex users are matched via the same or equivalent technology as that used for heterosexual match seekers. Tony Perkins, president of the right-wing Family Research Council, told the Baptist Press that the surest way to lose the culture war is refusing to fight. He called eHarmony's settlement a shocking concession that was distressing and damaging and sending tremors through the faith community. The settlement also requires the company to provide a free one-year membership to McKinley, pay him $5,000, and pay the New Jersey Division on Civil Rights $50,000 to cover investigation-related administrative costs. eHarmony operates not only in the U.S., but also in Australia, Britain, and Canada.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 22, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Torres.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
Extra, extra, read all about it, extra.
A new This Way Out update has been posted on our website. For recent programming information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to www.thiswayout.org.
An unprecedented online organizing campaign brought hundreds of thousands of gays, lesbians, and their supporters out into the streets on November 15th to protest the passage of California's Proposition 8 and other same-gender marriage bans. The total number of demonstrators rallied by a new breed of net-savvy younger activists may have topped a million in up to 300 different cities all over the United States. Actions were reportedly also held at U.S. embassies in several other countries. The largest turnout may have been in San Diego, with an estimated 25,000 people filling the streets. Many thousands also demonstrated in Sacramento and several other California communities. In Atlanta, Honolulu, Phoenix, Little Rock, Seattle, Boston, Chicago, and Philadelphia, two smaller towns like Fargo, North Dakota, Macon, Georgia, and Pocatello, Idaho, they gathered. Crowds swept across the states of Kansas, Florida, New York, Illinois, Ohio, Tennessee, Texas, and Washington. There were far too many locations to name. This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching asked activists to phone into her Queer FM program on CITR in Vancouver with reports about demonstrations in their cities.
My name is Robin Tyler. I'm half of the original plaintiffs that filed the same-sex marriage suit. My wife is Diane Olson. We were married on June 16th in Los Angeles, and I'm standing here on the edge of thousands and thousands of people that are marching by me. There's about 10 to 15,000 people. There were speeches, the mayor was here. This is just in Los Angeles alone. A lot of speakers, a lot of signs. Let's see, it says, I pay full taxes, I want full rights. Equality now, marriage rights now. We're a civil rights movement. Can you start hearing me? I'm coming near the crowd. Gay, straight, black, white, marriage is a civil right. Just thousands of people are calling past me.
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Equal rights!
When do we want it?
Now!
Hi, this is Rick Turco from Napa Valley. We had about 250 people here in downtown Napa at the City Hall. This was, like, just an amazing experience. I'd say, Lots of kids down here with their families. I can't even begin to say how gratified I was. It was very, very frustrating on election day when, you know, one of the greatest things, Barack Obama got elected president and then Proposition 8 passed. I heard one of the speakers today talk about the fact that this completely renewed kind of our resolve.
Hey, it's Lisa Gadulda calling in from San Francisco, standing in front of San Francisco City Hall amidst
thousands and thousands of people protesting the passage of Proposition 8. People have been protesting on and off all week. We've got helicopters above. It feels like a war zone here, but I think it's news helicopter, not police helicopters. People have signs ranging from "No on hate," this H-8, to a straight woman saying, "I'm not going to get married until everyone can." California Nurses Association, nurses say yes to love. Just a sea of people, all different ages, races, sexualities.
My name is Stephen Baudouin. I'm the staff writer for Just Out News magazine in Portland, Oregon. We're Oregon's twice-monthly LGBT news and entertainment publication. I'm down here in Portland, Oregon, Portland State University, on the South Park blocks. We're at a rally in the center of the city, right next to the farmer's market, actually, today. And it's just before noon. We've got a pretty good-sized crowd. I'd say about 500-700 people or so here on the park blocks. It's a pretty diverse crowd here. You see, I'm seeing some of Portland's top LGBT and allied leaders, but I'm also seeing a good amount of heterosexual couples and peace-like parents and allies and all that sort of thing. You're seeing folks in wheelchairs. You're seeing folks of different colors. It's a pretty diverse crowd, I'd have to say. You can probably hear them chanting behind me right now. The signs are all over the map. I mean, you see, of course, in the States, you're seeing a few signs today that say, "Yes, we can," which, of course, is a nod to Barack Obama's recent win here. There's a particularly cool sign that says, "Stop using my God to promote your hate," and it's got a rainbow crucifix. "We the people," that means all of us. "My family loves your family." Are we there yet? Those are some of the signs you're seeing. They set up a little stage here on the park blocks, and you've got a couple community leaders that are just speaking into a bullhorn, telling their stories, getting the crowd riled up. There's been some chanting. I haven't seen any sort of dissenting voices yet. I haven't seen any. The haters aren't out here today, to my knowledge. All the people that I'm seeing here are here to support marriage equality today.
What do we want?
Equal rights.
What do we want?
Now.
What do we want?
Equal rights.
What do we want?
Now. Hey, this is Rick Garcia of Equality Illinois. I'm in Springfield, Illinois, in front of the state capitol and our Supreme Court building. And there are... oh, about 150 people already here, which is quite remarkable for the center of Illinois on such a cold, cold November day. There are a lot of people here, rainbow flags, an assortment of signs. They're standing on the steps of our Supreme Court, and then also people are driving by and honking horns. We have mixed couple families with their kids here. And every age range you could possibly think of. So it's quite amazing. The crowd is chanting, and the response from the people passing by is really quite good. Only two people have flipped us off so far.
This is Charlie Naylor, and I'm arriving back from the rally in Lake Worth, Florida. Lake Worth is just south of West Palm Beach. This was an army of lovers. It was magnificent, really fun. My favorite part had a group of about a half dozen Jewish grandmothers singing parody lyrics to songs like "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" and "Love and Marriage," all with a gay marriage theme to them. It was very peaceful. There were no counter demonstrators. People would pass by and honk their horns, and the people in the demonstration would cheer as the horns would honk. It was fun. For lack of a better word, it was wholesome. It was good, clean fun. People were enjoying themselves. And as I said earlier, this was an army of lovers and a beautiful thing to see. Again, about 200 people, nothing huge, but just a sense of purpose, a sense of why we're here. It was lovely.
Popular stand-up comic and actress Wanda Sykes added star power to the protest in Las Vegas. The co-star of TV's The New Adventures of Old Christine, like so many others, had mixed feelings of joy at the election of Barack Obama and sadness over the passage of marriage bans in three states on November 4th. Sykes told the crowd that she's been out to most everyone who knows her personally and that she got married on October 25th. But she said the votes against marriage equality compelled her to speak publicly for the first time.
We should never be standing out here,
that's right,
demanding something that we automatically should have as citizens of this country. They pissed off the wrong group of people.
Yeah.
We are so together now, and we all want the same thing, and we are not going to settle for less. Instead of having gay marriage in California, no, we're going to get it across the country. When my wife and I leave California, I want to have my marriage also recognized in Nevada and Arizona. Be a woman. I'm proud to be a black woman. I'm proud to be gay. And I love you all. And let's go get our damn equal rights. Come on.
Up to 15,000 people jammed the streets of downtown Los Angeles on November 15th. This Way Out's Steve Pride was there.
I'm here today to convey my support of equality, respect, of dignity for all people, that in no situation should any group of people be denied the human rights that any other group has.
Tell me why you're here.
To support gay marriage and repeal Proposition 8.
How old are you and what grade are you in?
I'm 13 and I'm in 8th grade.
Why is this important to you?
Well, because it's like we're all humans and we shouldn't be treated differently, and we should all marry. And I think that it's kind of stupid that people want to put their rules into other people's lives.
We're here because we're married, and we want to stay married, and we want to give other people the same opportunity to get married just as we did.
Hello there. We're from the Los Angeles House of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. I'm Sister Wendy Pigsfly, and we're here for the pancake breakfast. Wait, no, the Twilight signing. No, wait. Actually, we're here to say thank you. Deeply felt thank you to every one of the people that showed up today, because as you see, it's not just any community, it's all of us. And all the people that are here deserve a big, huge thank you. That's why we're here today. I think a lot of people really believed in their heart of hearts, no one could actually vote that way. Not if you know someone, not if you love someone. But look what's happening now, Stonewall 2.0.
I'm here to stand up for civil rights for everybody. It's quite important that all of us stand up for the other group that's not us. As a child, when one walked into the Simon Wiesenthal Center, said when we came for the gypsies, I was not a gypsy, so I didn't do anything. When they came for the gays, I was not a gay, so I didn't do anything. Then they took me too. And unless we stand up for the other group, they will take you as well. And it's so important in this day and age that you stand up for people that aren't just people that look like you and act like you and are of the same religion.
My name's Ed Mitchell. I'm a school teacher, and this is my friend Marisa O'Donohue. She's also a school teacher. And we're out here, and we're in support of same-sex marriage.
And why is this important to you?
Well, it's equal rights. It's, you know, we're tracing upon fundamental constitutional rights, and it's about equality. Sorry, last time I checked, gay people pay taxes too, and just listening to all the hate behind us, the yes on Prop 8, it's outrageous. Just the ignorance and the intolerance, and it's all about religious issue, and it's not supposed to be about that.
I'm gay and she's straight, but you're going to be my spokesperson now, man. You're awesome.
Okay. I love my friend, and I just can't believe that he is not going to be treated the same as I am going to be treated. I just don't understand that.
Tell me who you are and why you're here.
I'm Ron Goldhammer, and I'm here to protect my family. I have three children and a husband, been together 12 years, and we just want what everybody else wants. You know, a happy life and be productive and take care of our children.
My name is Karen, and I live locally, and I'm here to support the gay community.
Her husband's with her.
And then why are you here?
Because it's unconstitutional. When the majority take rights away from the minority is unconstitutional.
My name's Lisa, and I'm here to help support gay rights. I'm a straight woman in my 40s, but I don't think it's fair that some people have rights and others don't. Banning marriage isn't going to stop gays from being together, so you'd think that religious people would want people to be married and say, hey, we're making a commitment, we love each other, and we're not going to part.
Illicit homosexuals, not only has California and Arizona and Florida, that has spoken volumes. So much for democracy. You despise democracy. In fact, sodomites, this is not democracy. We live in a republic as bound in the Pledge of Allegiance. You don't know what the word republic is. You despise democracy.
Religious intolerance! You're a Christian, you say, I will not allow your vote to count!
You had your equal rights at the ballot box, and you lost!
That's wrong!
You had your time for equality, and you lost! Take it like a man, homosexual! Take it like a man!
About equal rights, it is about separation of state and church. It is about human dignity. It is about the value we place on the lives and the quality of life of gays, lesbians, transgenders, bisexuals. You are our community. We must stand with you. From Selma to Stonewall, this is the fight today. Yes, we can.
More actions to build on the nationwide November 15th demonstrations are in the works. For all the details, log on to jointheimpact.com. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, John Torres, Michael LeBeau, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Sherry Lunn, Heather Kitching, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Boy George sang Yes We Can, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to postal mailed CDs or cassettes of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KEUL, Girdwood and Hope, Alaska, Grateful Dread Radio, Baltimore, Maryland, CHSR, Fredericton, New Brunswick, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.